Amen. Thank the Lord for the humble, fervent public prayer. I ask you to continue to be in prayer as I endeavor to preach to you this morning. Last weekend, I was over at Grace Church for their annual meeting and was asked to preach on three occasions, and I endeavored to preach on the subject of faith. I just had that on my heart and mind. And I started out with a text from Hebrews chapter 11 where the Apostle Paul said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And how many of us want to please the Lord? I hope that's all of us. And without faith, without living by faith and trusting in him, we cannot please him. You know, if a mom and dad, say, had five or six children and they fed them three good meals a day for years, and yet the children were worried and afraid that they're going to run out of food, don't you imagine the mom and dad would be a little bit offended? Well, our Heavenly Father's been providing for you and me all these years. So don't you imagine he's a little bit offended with us when we don't trust him, when we don't live by faith? Is that reasonable? But without faith, and what is faith? Faith is trusting in the Lord. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verse 6, "Trust in the Lord some of the time, part of the time." No. Trust in the Lord. Not in the government. Not in yourselves. Not in your job. Not in your money. Not in your strength. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Trusting in the Lord is not easy. And it's strange that it isn't, because nobody's ever been able to report that he failed in any way. It ought to be easy for us to trust in him. But it's just our human nature to fret and to worry. You know, when Moses led Israel out of Egypt and they were standing in front of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was pursuing them with their chariots and their swords, and that was a mighty army. And Israel was not armed. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have an army. And mountains were on either side of them, so they couldn't get over those mountains to escape. And in front of them, y'all remember, was the Red Sea. And you know what Moses told Israel to do? He said, "Stand still." I'm going to say that standing still is one of the hardest things for Christians to do. We want to be doing something. But there are times when you and I just need to learn to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that takes faith. I mean, after all, here's Pharaoh's army coming. We got to do something or we're going to be destroyed. No, Moses said, "Stand still." In the Psalms, we are told, "Be still and know that I am God." That's not easy either. And it ought to be. After all, God is upholding the universe. He's keeping the sun coming up every morning. How many of y'all are worried about the sun not coming up? Y'all fret about that? No. He's been bringing it up every morning for thousands of years. And so, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But it ought to be easy for us to have faith in God, because he is so trustworthy, so dependable. And then, the Bible tells us that faith without works is what? Dead. Now, living by faith and trusting in the Lord doesn't mean that we're not to be up and about the things that God has called on us to do. We're to be busy in His service. Faith without works is what? Weak? No, it's dead. You may have a piece of ground that you think will bring forth fruit, vegetables, and such. You may have faith that that is good soil. It's rich. It's capable of bearing good fruit. Tomatoes, potatoes, corn. But if that's all you've got, you think you're going to have a garden? If that's all it took, I could probably have a nice garden. But you know what? It takes a lot more than faith in the soil. You've got to get out there and work. You've got to till the soil and plant the seed and fertilize it and water it. So faith without works is dead. You and I need to be working in the way that God has called on us to do. And then I tried to preach last Sunday on this text from 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Apostle Peter tells us, add to your faith. He didn't say to add faith to faith. We've all got enough faith, but what we need to do is use that faith. Many times Jesus said to His disciples, oh, ye of little faith, not meaning that they didn't have enough faith, they just weren't using their faith. They weren't living by faith. So He would say, oh, ye of little faith. Two times that I know of in the Scriptures that Jesus referred to people's faith as so great faith. One of them was a Roman centurion. Not a Jew, not a member of Israel, a Roman military leader. You wouldn't expect much faith out of him, but Jesus said, I've not seen so great faith. No, not in all Israel. And then again, the woman of Syrophoenicia was a Gentile. And her little child was being oppressed with demons. And she came to Jesus asking for help. And he had his disciples who were of little faith up in the upper regions of Israel, where a lot of Gentiles were, and I believe Jesus wanted His disciples to see what great faith was. And this woman, who had this afflicted child, came to Jesus asking for help. And the disciples said, send her away. She's troubling us. That's a bad attitude to have. And then Jesus said, it's not meet for me to take the children's meat and give it to dogs. How many of y'all would have hung around after somebody said that to you? That was out of character for Jesus Christ to say something like that. But He's doing it to show His disciples what great faith is. And this woman, this Gentile woman, was not offended. Her faith was so great in the Savior, she said, truth, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, I've not seen so great faith. It was from a Roman soldier and a Gentile woman that Jesus said, I've seen such great faith. Not in His disciples who had seen so many miracles. I hope this morning that you and I will endeavor to live in such a way that our faith in God will be strong and great. We live in a troubled world. It's all around us. A lot of stress everywhere. A lot of people are working at jobs that are stressful. They have children that they're trying to take care of, and they're going to a lot of children's activities. They You know, they're trying to, they've got a mortgage they've got to pay for, maybe a car payment, maybe some of the family is sick. And then we have this pandemic, this worldwide epidemic, hundreds of thousands of people dying. We had an election that upset a lot of people. There's a lot of stress in our world. And I want to tell you, the best way for you and me to deal with that stress is to live by faith. Are y'all listening? You say, I expect a preacher to say that. But I'm telling you the gospel truth. We have not been forsaken. There's a God in heaven who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, so that we may say what? We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. I tell you, if we can get that in our minds and stay focused on that, it will help us greatly. And we'll be able to do like Moses that night in front of the Red Sea. And you know how long they stood there? It wasn't just 5 minutes. It was all night long. And this water just gelled on either side like jello. And they went through dry shod. And I can, knowing human nature, knowing me like I know me, and knowing human nature like I know you, I suspect a lot of those Hebrews, as they were going through dry shod with the water backed up on either side, were saying, it's not going to last. Water doesn't do this. We're in trouble. But you know what? It didn't. They all got through. You know how many Hebrews got through the Red Sea that time? Every last one of them. The babies in mother's arms. The old, the afflicted. They didn't leave one of the redeemed people in Egypt. And I want to say to you all this morning, beloved, as old Baptist, if you're a primitive Baptist and you believe in the doctrine of salvation by grace, and I appreciated Brother Caleb this morning thanking God for the truth. If you are a member of this church and you really believe the doctrine of this church, you're not worried about anybody dying and going to hell. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? And yet, we'll worry and fret about the difficulties of this life. If God is able to save us from hell, don't you think He's able to take care of us right now? This will do us more good than all the medicine in the drugstore. And I'm not against medicine if you need it. But I'm telling y'all something this morning that'll help you in life. Trusting in the Lord. You say, well, Brother Sam, I go to the Lord and I talk to Him. And I complain about the weather, and I complain about how I feel, my arthritis. I complain about this, and I complain about the government. Did you know complaining is not praying? Ooh. If complaining was praying, most of us would be praying all the time. But complaining is not praying. Praying is trusting in the Lord. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And it ought to be easy. It ought to be easy to do. It ought to be easy. I heard this illustration years ago. This dad was trying to teach his little girl how to swim. And he was in the pool, and he was encouraging her to jump off the edge of the pool into his arms, and she wouldn't do it. It took a long time, a lot of coaching, to ever get her to jump. But once she jumped, she was okay. She trusted Him from then on. I want y'all to know, you've got a heavenly Father. I'm so glad the Bible describes God in the New Testament as our Father. Our Father. Now let's come to our text. Here in 2 Peter chapter 1, he would say, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We don't need more faith. We just need to use the faith we've got and then add these things to it. Virtue, which is with moral excellence and courage. And then add to that knowledge. Not the kind of knowledge you get at college, but the kind of knowledge you get from Holy Scripture. Learning more and more and more about our God. And knowledge, and by the way, you're not going to get that anywhere else but probably in Scripture and in church. And add to your knowledge temperance, that is self-control. And the more you and I learn about knowledge, about our God, the more we can control our temper. The more we can control our tongue. The more we can control our passions. We need temperance. And temperance is not just talking about controlling your appetite, what you eat and what you drink. It's talking about what you say, what you use your mouth for. Add to your temperance patience. How many of y'all are good at waiting? Come on now. The Bible says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. I want to tell you, if you're going to be calling on God, you might as well learn to be patient, because I can tell you, he doesn't run on our schedule. How many of y'all have found that out? He's on his own schedule. And you're going to have to wait on the Lord. And as you wait, in your patience, possess your souls. And let patience have her perfect work. That's wonderful to think about. And then add to your patience godliness. You know, the more you add these things to your faith, the more you'll find yourself wanting to actually live a godly life. You'll actually start wanting to do things that are pleasing to God instead of the flesh or the world. And then you begin to add to that brotherly kindness. I love that. Brotherly kindness. We just need a lot more kindness in our world. And you know, in the church, we need a lot of brotherly kindness. Does anybody in the church ever rub you wrong? That's not a fair question. Nobody raised their hand, so none of you being real honest. But in church, a church family is just like a natural family. I just heard this morning about a sister who said her brother was about to drive her crazy. That's typical siblings for you, isn't it? I'm sure there was a time when I used to drive my older brothers crazy. That goes on in a family. But it's also true in a church family. If you're looking for the perfect church, I don't know where you're going to find one. If you're looking for a perfect spouse, I don't know where you're going to find one. Perfect parents, perfect kids. None of us come close to perfection. That's why we need to add to our faith brotherly kindness. Learn to be kind to people in their brokenness and in their fretfulness. And then notice what he says. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now that is love in action. And you see, as a child of God begins to grow in their spiritual life, they will eventually get to where they can just love everybody. You know, that's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? Where everybody you see, no matter how broken they are, troubled they are, how much they might act out of character, you just have compassion for them and you pray for them and you ask God to help them. See, this kind of charity is not something that responds to goodness. You know, you began to love people who were unlovable. You began to really love people unconditionally. How well are we doing in that area? We need to be growing in charity. Instead of criticizing and finding fault with people, we need to be loving people and showing them love. And that's one thing that this world understands. That's a language that is understood whether it's in Swahili, Spanish, Russian, or English. Charity. Show people some real charity. I read the article this week about a woman. She and her husband ride motorcycles, and she lost the key to her motorcycle. And she only had one, and she was just scared to tell her husband about it. She knew he's passionate about riding motorcycles, and she just knew he was going to blow his top. He was going to say, "What do you mean losing your key?" And you know what? Instead of that, he said, "You know, that could happen to any of us." And she said, "You know, it just caused me to love him more." You and I need to add charity to our lives. See, the world out here doesn't get that. They understand an eye for an eye. They get that. They understand if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back twice as hard. They get that. My flesh gets that. But what the world needs is not more of that. What the world needs are genuine followers of Jesus Christ. You're going to have a lot of faith in God to live the Christian life. Because I can tell you, well, let's continue. He says, "For if these things be in you and abound," not just in you, but abound, "they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Peter is saying that Jesus wants us to bear a lot of fruit. You know, we've got a Bradford pear tree in our yard down in Cochran, and it's pretty. I mean, it really is. It was so pretty back a few weeks ago. How many of y'all love Bradford pear trees? Aren't they beautiful? Have you ever had a pear off of one of them? They're ornamental. They're not fruit bearing. God does not want you and me on this earth just to be pretty. He wants us to bear fruit. And what kind of fruit's He looking for? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. That's what He wants us to bear. And do y'all think He deserves it? I say He does. Now, the Apostle Peter says, "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, my soul. How we need to just immerse ourselves in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God was so good to give us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four gospel accounts, biographies of our Savior. Matthew shows Him as the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. Mark shows Him in his gospel as a servant to men. Luke shows Him as the Son of Man. And John, we heard a great sermon last night, didn't we? From John chapter 1, about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. The Word, the Light, the Lamb, the Messiah. You and I just need to be immersed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're having trouble, brethren and sisters, may I encourage y'all to just start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You might want to skip over that long list of names. I'm not saying it's not important now. Every word in the Bible is important, but if you don't watch out, you just quit when you're reading that long list of ancestors of Jesus. But get on into the Gospels. Get acquainted with your Savior, Jesus Christ. See Him in His bodily flesh, living and walking about and doing good. And so He says, he that lacketh these things is what? Is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That would be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? To forget that we have been purged from our old sins. Now, we come here. This church has 7 monthly meetings scheduled. And we have extra meetings, you know, in March and August and New Year's. Why do we do that? Why do we keep coming here and singing like we did this morning and praying and preaching and shaking hands with one another and catching up on the news? Why do we keep this nice building like it is and the grounds? Why do we bring dinner on Sunday? Why do we do all that? To keep this place alive, right? How many of y'all want to just see this place go down? I could take you to church buildings today in Georgia that have been abandoned. You know why? Because people stopped living this life. Buildings, once lovely buildings, now inhabited by the bats and the owls. We don't want that. We want this church to be here until the trumpet sounds. How many of y'all want that? Come on now. Y'all want it just for you? And when you're gone, who cares? No. This church was constituted in 1809 by people of faith. When those people gathered, and this church was constituted out in Allentown. And I was always told there's a spring out there. I always wanted to see it, that this church was named after Cool Spring. There was an old man out there who owned a lot of land who told me where it was, but I never could find it. But it was constituted in Allentown, Georgia in 1809. That's over 200 years ago. And it was people, men and women of faith. The kind of faith I'm talking about this morning. They came together. There wasn't a lot of them. I think we have the founding members in our church records. They're named. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some Howells and Nobles in there. And by faith, people like you have been meeting here over 200 years. And every time you come, you know what it's supposed to be doing? Building our faith. If y'all come here and hear a sermon and your faith isn't built up, we have failed. If y'all leave here today discouraged, beat down, you don't have a God to trust in, I have failed. I love the conversation between the sparrow and the robin. And the sparrow said, why? Why are those little creatures down there, those human beings running around, fretting so? And the robin said, I guess they don't have a heavenly father like we got. Y'all seen any birds lately having nervous breakdowns? Lining up for whiskey and drugs? No. They're busy. They're happy. We heard a whippoorwill over at Pleasant Plains the other night. Nelda, I tell you, that just fed her soul. Took her back to her childhood. How many of y'all love to hear the birds sing? I love the dove. It's such a sweet, peaceful, comforting sound. Not like an old hawk. I want to tell you, you've got a heavenly Father. And you're worth more than many sparrows, and He takes care of them. But I want to tell you, Jesus didn't die for the sparrows. He died for you. And you're going to heaven because of what He did. Let's just trust Him. Let's please Him. Why don't we? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But with faith, you and I can actually please our God. Now, not in every way. Every day we'll come up short. God knows that. But we can trust Him. Thank you all for your attention this morning.